Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. All right. Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of Banking Reinvented. And today I'm joined not only by Jouk Pleiter here today. Jouk, good to see you again.
Hey, Tim. Good to see you.
We're also joined by Daniel Dagg, the COO of Arbuthnot LATAM, which I just wanted to make sure I pronounced correctly, but I'm sure you're going to do it better than I do. But nevertheless, it's great to have you on the show, Dan. Perhaps you can introduce yourself as well as the firm in a bit more detail.
Yeah. Hi, Tim. Good to see you again. And you, Jouk. Arbuthnot LATAM. I mean, I'll put the UK pronunciation on it. Private and commercial banking since 1833. We are very proud of our heritage. It's an organisation that's been around for a while. And over the recent past, we've seen quite a lot of growth. We're going through quite a lot of investment as an organisation, growing our kind of technology capability within the organisation. We are seeing some positive momentum in supporting our clients and particularly the growth in the commercial sector that we're supporting.
Hey, and for today's episode, we felt it would be best to start outside in. And the first leading question would be, what are your clients looking for today, especially when it comes to digital and the relationship managers you typically have in a more physical human touch? What is the expectation in your current client population?
Well, if we start with the whole concept of digital, and I mean, digital's a massive part of everywhere, financial services and elsewhere. And, you know, it absolutely, we know that it brings a great deal of simplicity and efficiency to people's lives. The way you can fulfill simple tasks, stay connected, getting up to the minute information and using data to really understand clients and harness their needs. However, there is also in the type of organization that we are, there's still definitely the human element. You know, we are at our heart a relationship bank. And what we're trying to do in the journey that we're going through is working out how we meld the simplicity and effectiveness and efficiency and the benefits of digital, but keeping the relationship management part of the business at the heart of it. And we have evidence that clients, for their more complex needs, be it structuring or advice or something like that, they definitely want to talk to people. But digital still has a part to play in that. We can still move forward with clients. We recognise that trust and tailored service remains critical, even where we've got client digital experience. We did some recent research, and 91% of our clients use digital services, which is a kind of as you'd expect in the world we're at. But they're very specific about them. But over 60% of our clients highly value proactive and engaging contact from their relationship manager. So it demonstrates that we've got high usage of digital channels, but also a demand to have stuff. I mean, this is backed by some of the other research that we see. I mean, in a recent Deloitte survey, they said that 72% of clients value human interactions for their financial services. So it clearly isn't going away. And 80% of affluent clients expect personalized service, but only 45% feel they receive it. So there's a bit here where, you know, if you are a relationship organization, there is a part to play. But as I mentioned, firms that manage to integrate and ease the simplicity between digital, streamline the client experience, and continue to have that relationship at the heart, I think there's an opportunity for them to win. You know, high net worth clients seek integration digital and relationship management, and they expect that to be done seamlessly. I would say at Arbuthnot LATAM that this is a journey for us. It's not something that you can deliver overnight. And whilst we see in the market, you know, new digital players coming into play, they are very focused on one part. I think it's a harder journey for organizations that want to provide both the personal and the digital together. I think it's a slightly more difficult journey to go on.
But then I was just wondering, like, the theory is, of course, super clear. I think especially in private banking, commercial banking, I think clearly there's this human element and the digital element. I think then the design question is, how do you bring them together? Potentially, how can they bring and operate as one? Any experiences from you, like, where did you struggle maybe in the past? Let's start with, like, the theory is clear, but, like, typically the digital channel is an island, then some of the internal tooling for the RMs is an island. Like, what's your view on that? Like, what are the real obstacles in reality?
So I think most organizations now on the transactional level will be pretty good. So if we take banking, it's online banking, or if we take investment management, view your portfolio online, that's all pretty simple. I think what's more difficult is when you bring that human interaction in and you're trying to, in that human interaction, what you really want is you want your relationship managers to be able to focus on the client, go into the meeting, say, we already know about you, we have all the information to hand, and then it's the quality of the conversation about the particular problem the client has. I think what's really hard is how do you create those journeys that bring together gathering of information, elements of digital, so that those human interactions are of the most value and the most productive. And I'll be honest, I think part of the challenge with that is organizations have multiple systems, multiple touch points, and bringing them together for the good of it. If we talk of us as an organization, we have our digital channel for our clients, but then bringing that back into the processes within the bank. For example, we're going to do an annual financial review with the client. How do you draw some of that through into that so that those meetings can be at the most productive? And understanding how you build those journeys to optimize it for clients. I mean, I have a really stupid example I use, which is, you know, if you're traveling and you're booking a flight, you can do a lot of that online, but obviously physically you tend to go on the flight and what have you. But those little interactions that help you with telling you where to go to check in or where to collect your bags and what have you, they're really helpful, and they make the experience more enjoyable because you're not having to focus on the kind of day-to-day admin of it, but you can really focus on the experience you're on. And it's similar with a relationship management opportunity. What you really want is to maximize that interaction between the banker, the relationship manager, and the client, and take some of the kind of the more kind of basic hygiene parts of that process out of the equation. And you know, I think making that available, and obviously mobile is the key to that. So being able to provide clients with notifications of what's going on, it just eases that whole experience for a client. It's all about client experience.
I was just wondering, like, it sounds, if I think about, okay, how do we prepare? Basically, it's how do you supercharge your relationship manager or advisor to, right? That's one major element. Like, how do you prepare that meeting? How do you do, for instance, the annual financial review, or how do you interact with the client on a portfolio rebalancing exercise? Do you see any type, like, because the self-service part, to your point, that's pretty much like table stakes, that's done, right? But it's kind of the supercharging the RM and then enabling them to use the digital channel to kind of collaborate. Is that a correct story? Is that the heart of the problem?
It is. And increasingly, you get many firms who are trying to push clients down to a fully kind of digital or self-service type environment. And what we find at Arbuthnot Latham is there's definitely a case, and there's definitely a market, and there's definitely clients who say, look, you know, that's fine, we adopt digital, we want to use it, but we need to have that relationship interaction for the things which are more complex, because, you know, the things that might make a difference to our business, or if I'm managing my wealth, I want to be able to talk to an individual on that. But I want it to be as efficient and engaging as possible.
So I can imagine that AI is going to be the next frontier there, especially in supercharging the relationship manager, like getting all the right data, figuring out like what are the right talking points, new insights. So just kind of that, how to prepare for a meeting with sensible insights. Any experimentation already with that, like you see either in Abernuth or in with your peers in the industry?
This may not be what you want to hear yet, but I think we're taking a bit of a, we're going to wait and see, because I you're absolutely right. We see the benefit for it, but the use cases, those which really, you know, really strike your imagination, are we're still waiting to see. And particularly in a highly regulated industry, you've got to be really careful. You can't treat AI as a black box. You've got to understand where you get to. So there's use cases, but when it comes to providing complex advice, you've got to make sure that you've done your due diligence, you've got all the information, and you've got to be able to evidence how you've done that. So I think, yes, the answer is great insights. It will improve the way that you can bring information to clients. It will speed up what you're doing. But there is a cautionary note, I guess, of you've just got to be a little bit careful that you can evidence that it is you as the advisor who's reached the conclusion that you've reached.
No, totally. I think the notion of human in the loop, for sure, that's why we have the RM, etc. I think it's kind of, there's quite, I think, some opportunity just to kind of collect the right data, collect the right insights, prepare the talking points still by the RM or the advisor to be decided, like, hey, are these points relevant, etc.? Do I bring them into the mix? Yeah, interesting.
I think that angle is also more of a productivity angle to make the relationship manager way more productive and to basically unburden all the administrative tasks from their day-to-day, which also comes back to your initial point that you want the relationship manager to be with your client and to add value, right, as active as possible versus all the manual labor and other tasks.
Yeah, there's absolutely a case in a simple term. You know, if an RM were to ask your kind of CRM system or something and say, show me all the clients who might be interested in this particular product. I mean, absolutely. AI can absolutely help you with that. I suppose the other side to AI, though, that where I see companies on a bit of a journey, is around data. Because there's an assumption here that every firm's data is in exactly the right place, delivering exactly the information that you need. And I think that that's a journey that all firms are on. We have a strategy at Arbuthnot to develop our kind of our customer insight and our data capability and become a very data-driven organization. But, you know, that's a journey that we're on. It is something that we've got to continue to develop and continue to enhance the way we collect and gather information about clients is really important. And it's not, I think banks as a whole have lots of information. It's harnessing it that's sometimes a problem and having it in the right structure.
So, coming back to the initial question that we used to start the episode, if you look at, let's say, your longer-term strategy, you see that there's the generational change in wealth that will happen over the coming, 10, 15 years, where a younger set of the population will look after the wealth of the elderly today. Do you feel that that will adjust over time your strategy to become maybe dominantly on the digital channel, or do you always feel, well, for the complexity of the day-to-day that we handle for our clients, there will just be a combination? And I'm also asking this in lieu of others that are entering the market that are digital only and that have started basically digital native wealth firms and private banking, firms. What are your thoughts?
Do you mind if I take a bit of a step back and provide a bit of context here about the particular markets that you've got? So I'm a fairly long-standing banker, and in the UK we had a bank called First Direct who launched as a telephony-only bank. And for years they had the highest customer satisfaction rating. And my conclusion on this is because the people who signed up for them wanted telephone banking. They didn't want branches. This was probably a bit pre-online. It shows how old I am. They had this great client experience. Because what they did is they built a really good telephone banking experience for clients. So that was really good. So you now wind forward and you go, there are a number of digitally first, digitally only banks. I mean, Monzo springs to mind. And you know, for a certain type of customer, that's a great proposition. That's a great proposition. And they provide that very well. I think where it becomes more challenging, and you think about people through their life and go, well, you know, there are times when I just want to do transactional banking, I might want to do foreign currency and what have you. Digital first is kind of fine for that. But if I want to then take a mortgage or a home loan out, or I want to start a new business or what have you, it is more complex. And you assume clients are going to go through that. So universal banks have a more complex challenge around this. And saying, well, you know, there is a model that fits one type, it would be wrong. So clearly, what we see in our research is our younger clients are quicker at adopting digital from a transactional banking point of view, which is kind of what you'd expect, albeit, you know, COVID has also shown that, you know, using digital channels is something that all clients are more than happy to affect. But what surprised me in our research is once you start getting down to that full breadth of services, a full breadth of stuff, you then get an interesting dynamic. We had the older clients then, or more, let's call them more experienced clients, are happy to perhaps fulfill some of their stuff online. So if somebody, you know, has perhaps had a mortgage before, they might be more willing to apply for a mortgage online because they know what they're getting at. What we found with the younger generation is when you get to the more complex ones, that's when they switch back to the personal kind of interactions. So I think you need to think about those journeys. You need to think about the needs of the clients and what they're looking for, and then build the proposition. I do think that whilst, you know, some of these single channel type providers are attracting some of the headlines, I do think that when you think about somebody's life cycle and the lifetime of their needs, I do think there's still definitely a place for the full service or universal banks. And then you come to a bank like ours, which specialize on a certain sector, we absolutely are going to maintain a mixture of both.
If you could kind of dream about that, Dan, like if you would envision, like, what kind of would be then the ideal operating model you would like to accomplish, let's say, the next 2 to 3 years, to kind of have that hybrid type of model, like exactly the right type of human support at the right moment in that life event? Clearly, the data strategy is one element, I guess. Can you maybe sketch a little bit, like, okay, what kind of building blocks are you putting in place in order to get somewhere?
I mean, it's going to differ by the size of the organization. We have about 1,000 employees here, and we work very closely together. We have a lot of people working in the office, and there's a lot of interaction. And therefore, us building a model where you can have elements of the digital interaction with a client, but still have the visibility of that when it comes to a personal interaction with somebody works well. I'd imagine for very large organization, it gets more difficult because, you know, you'll have a function focusing on building a digital proposition. You'll have a function that does, you know, specialist banking for people, and they might not be as closely connected. So I think from the operating model point of view, the challenge is how do you make sure that you stay connected? Because what you really want is you want somebody who will, that they could do something online, and then they might have to phone up something, and then they might actually come in and have a face-to-face interaction. You want that information. So to your point, Jack, about the data, you want that to flow through. You want it to be seamless. I mean, it is this whole concept of omnichannel. I think lots of people say it, but I'm not sure that anybody has fully cracked it yet. I mean, it's a difficult one for people to do.
So let's, as an example, a relationship manager is preparing a rebalancing proposal for the portfolio. It would pop up in the mobile app or in the online banking application. The client can play simulate with the same data. They could potentially schedule a phone call, do it together, but they are kind of, ideally, you would like to have one kind of orchestration platform in the background just to make sure that the client and the customer, whoever, you know, is also part of the customer family, they can collaborate. Is that kind of the right picture where you would like to have, or what's your view?
That's absolutely it. And it's breaking down those customer journeys and really understanding how they work. I mean, certainly for when you're kind of arranging the meeting and providing information to the client about that initial meeting, and then maybe gathering some initial thoughts and data, you know, you can have a great digital experience on that. And, you know, that needs to potentially be supported by, you know, a customer care call to make sure that they realize that, you know, we're still a human bank, and you make sure that they understand what's going on. But then once you've done that and the client understands, you know, what the agenda for the meeting is and what the information is, that meeting can then purely focus on completing that interaction, whether or not it's talking about investment advice or what have you. So you have that, and then you follow up. Because often, if you think of a home loan application, that can be quite a long and drawn out process. And it, for people, that can be quite stressful. So again, digital's got a part to play, because you can have something which illustrates to a client where they are in that part of the journey, and then make sure that they're feeling informed and reassured about it all the way through. So it's about maximizing that human interaction, but using digital and other channels to make sure that clients are kept informed and taking the anxiety out of any interaction, and then improving efficiency.
Yeah, I think a technologist probably would say, like, maybe one critical element is, let's call it asynchronous collaboration, right? Because The RM is preparing something, you need to schedule the meeting, then you can discuss it together, people have follow-up actions. So there's kind of this track and trace of what are the activities, what was the previous step, how do we conclude? Basically make sure that multiple actors at different moments in time can kind of collaborate on a common objective. So to me, it feels very much like a collaboration platform where you need to kind of schedule these tasks, you need to ping each other, etc. But normally, kind of that collaboration is you have a separate CRM system, then you've got a separate online and mobile banking application. So it's kind of eventually then the collaboration moves to email, right? So you start to kind of do these things in email and you kind of becomes a little bit disconnected. Do you recognize that? Is that kind of one of the root cause issues that ideally we should solve together?
I think you're describing a really compelling proposition. I think the thing that creates complexity and isn't quite needs work through is this whole concept of, you know, time and availability and what have you. You know, right? If I use a web chat facility, then you're obviously talking to an agent who is specifically focused on that channel. You know, the ability to have a highly experienced relationship banker always available to have those interactions. There's got to be some kind of, I guess, I don't know what the right term is, but the understanding of clients that, you know, these processes can be a little bit elongated. I think it's really important that you're responsive, but to have almost a real-time interaction is more common. I think what you're describing, though, is there an opportunity to use collaboration tools in an interaction? So, you know, if it's not face-to-face, if it was over a Teams meeting, if we could show people real-time how we're filling in forms, making decisions, you know, sharing information, there's absolutely a place for that.
Yeah, I think like probably it also depends. Even in private banking, you must have some level of client segmentation where certain clients will pick up the phone any moment of the day versus others. There will be some discrimination or differentiation, I guess, in the service levels. Totally makes sense. I think that's the case everywhere. What I clearly could imagine is also like you could have a virtual, let's say, date picker. Like it doesn't have to be real time availability, but at least you could say, okay, this is the topic. Can I pick calendar slots? Kind of make the connect, and then you kind of collaborate on a digital virtual case. You can pick the right data, you can discuss it, you can follow through, customer can think over it, they can simulate it, that type of, I think the world is moving in that direction.
For sure. I mean, the whole concept of fulfillment is, you know, you want the process doesn't have to be immediate, but a process has got to be intuitive and it's got to work for a client. And they've got to understand where they are and how they interact with it. And I think, you know, we are seeing the world, you know, getting better and better. The focus on client journeys and client experience, to me, is the most important part, because that's what's going to stand a firm apart. You know, there's lots of, I can probably point to as many digital journeys which are highly dissatisfying as you can, but those which are highly really good for a client. So I think, you know, firms that really understand what clients want and can really meet the way that they want to interact with the ones that are going to win in the market.
In that overall, and maybe this is sensitive, but like, do you see also that there is kind of some change management towards the relationship managers, where maybe some people just stereotype, like to continue to collaborate only via WhatsApp, and others find it difficult to actually do the right data entry in the system, right? So that whole informal thing that is kind of very human.
You get, what's the nicest way to put it? You get various levels of adoption by people, let's say, you know, and some are absolute advocates and champions of you know, wanting to push the boundaries and get really good experience using, maximizing the use of the tools that are available. There are also as many traditional people who want to continue to plow the way in and all the way. But it's going to be driven by the client at the end of the day, you know. And we do find that clients are not slow at coming forward and telling us what they want and the way they want to interact. And I think we We treat that as really important. Listen to the client and try and respond to them the best we can.
So I think maybe two observations. I think also employee experience is also still very important. If these internal systems are dreadful, you can't almost not blame them, right? But if you make them super intuitive and super easy, people will have a much better self-interest to adjust.
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, employees, certainly in our firm, they want to deliver great outcome for clients, and they want to be proud of what they're achieving for them. And they want to do it in a way that a client appreciates. So, having the experience for employees where they genuinely feel they've got the tools to enable them to do the best job is always going to win the hearts and minds.
I still think actually next to that, to your point, the digital experience for the clients, just recently had a personal experience with, a shared office facility get into the parking lot. I was scared of the details, but anyhow, these guys gave me just a quick app. I could download it and I could do anything in that building. Get the car parked, RFID, open the doors, just with my phone, right? So in a way, if you kind of translate this metaphor, they basically had a white label app to do all of that stuff. Normally I would have a separate access card and a separate system, separate, you see all the red tape. It's very dissatisfactory for the user of the building. It is very expensive for the operator of the building. So I think moving to a future where these kind of platforms basically think about how can I orchestrate all these typical use cases we see with our different client segments. How do we make sure that at any moment they can instantiate a trigger? It doesn't have to have a real-time response, but they can pick a slot. We can start to discuss it. We can start to collaborate. I really think these platforms, from the Ubers of this world to this office example, I think they showed a way how it's the platform technology, it's the mobile app. I think in the future also probably very much infused with AI, regardless of the use case, it will just kind of turbocharge the advisor or even the end customer to at least give people a better understanding of the optionality they have. I think the AI probably can just do a little bit more in a short time frame than any human being. But I think it's not per se about AI or about mobile or about the platform. I think it's about creating as leaders a view on how do we want to orchestrate and conduct these client experiences. Does that make sense to you? Does that any concerns you would have with that, or any obstacles?
No, I would agree. I mean, you called it out and you said, there are an increasing levels of tools and techniques that you can use. Digital enables an increasing level of tools and techniques that you can use to meet clients' needs, right? And I think you have to embrace them all. You can't be closed minded to this stuff. And as I say, the thing that really drives it is client. I do think that one of the challenges that it presents is increasingly digital moves you towards this 24/7 thing. Particularly, I mean, we have clients who, although we're largely UK based, we have clients who may be traveling all over the world and, in different time zones, and increasingly, they're looking for responsiveness. And there is an element where you could say, well, this is where AI and chatbots come in, but then I would counter that to say, does that really give the experience that you want for a client? So it's a challenge that we have to face into and embrace. I mean, we're lucky that we have some very kind of committed staff who will try and support clients in every way they can. But I think this concept of, giving clients tools so that they can, even if it's beyond the kind of normal working day, they can satisfy themselves. And this is where data and digital can play a part. It has an important role to play.
I think the picture that comes to mind, especially in your business, right? It's kind of this white glove treatment you would expect from a 5-star hotel, right? And then kind of how does kind of the, and of course there's always the human service element, but there's also these smart phones that kind of become part of I need something. Okay, let's trigger something. Kind of gives you a good feedback about where you are in the process, even if it's not immediate. Let's say, okay, we're going to schedule this meeting, we're going to come back to you. I think there's a whole lot to be learned from these other industries.
Let me try to summarize what I've heard in the dialogue today, Dan. So usually I have many different bullet points, but one thing really stood out for this whole conversation. It's all about the client. I hear a super strong client-centric view in every answer that you gave and every discussion that we had, which I think stands out. Typically, you would talk very detailed on the how and the what and how do you move to a platform, what have you. I think you really remained at this is what my clients are looking for, and then the technology follows. That's also how you addressed the AI context. Like, for now, we'll take a backseat. A, in our context, it doesn't really apply. Plus, our customers, our clients are expecting a certain type of service that AI is not yet really helping us with. Fair enough. Then in terms of bullets, number one, digital and human, you talked about how do you melt these together to make the impact towards the high net worth individuals that you're servicing, where 72%, according to your research, still wants human interactions. And funnily enough, at least that was an insight that I picked up on, even the younger audience has a moment where they want to talk to an actual human when it comes to more complex products, for instance, getting their first mortgage. So it's not that black and white. Like the new group, the young group will just look for digital. There's actually a nice blend there. We also talked about the fact that, yes, there can be a full digital value proposition like the Monzos, but similar to the first direct example, the telephony banking example that you shared, it's a very specific subset of customers that goes into the digital offering only, and they're happy there. But the ones that you are servicing have a broader expertise and experience that they expect. So it's a very much a different value proposition, which again, I think is a nice insight to be aware of. And then lastly, you talked quite a few moments about all the interactions. I think the thing I picked up on was you want to maximize interactions across the board, make them as seamless as possible, and deliver value across each step, whether it's a digital moment in time or a more physical moment in time. You're basically orchestrating that towards your clients. So that's what I captured so far. Anything you would like to add or maybe double click on, Dan?
Yeah, that was a great capture. I think I would just close by saying, you know, the concept of maximizing the data and then embracing digital and working with the right firms and platforms around your digital strategy is key. It's not going away. Yeah, I mean, it's only going to enhance what we do. You know, I think I did talk a lot about a client, and we're very proud of the relationships we hold with our clients. But that doesn't mean to say that we're not aware of the need to continue to drive forward our digital agenda. It's there to simplify everybody's life and make those experiences better. So I think it's an exciting time. I mean, there's always innovation. There's lots of opportunity to go on. The one thing that actually I didn't perhaps touch on. There's one other bit of our research, and this is a part that technology and digital plays in supporting security and the use of biometrics and all of those sort of things. That's a big part that clients are telling us they welcome the innovation to be able to also keep them secure.
Dan, thank you. I got some inspiration in this call. I think like the notion of a hybrid advisory model, right? I talk quite a bit with our product teams in the private banking and the wealth management space. And this is such a beautiful industry, like, because this is really where, you know, it has the right economics to bring the RM and the customer really in that kind of collaboration model. And I'm kind of, based on this call, kind of motivated to kind of raise the bar there, kind of get some proper hybrid white glove treatment operation, because there are so many other industries where this is perfectly organized, where you can, we probably had other experiences in our life in different industries where you really see like, hey, this is the workflow, the collaboration model, like just even the tools where people were used to after COVID, you could kind of just reserve a desk in your office, right? These little tiny tools that just do an amazing job. I think conceptually, there's something to be, to be learned from.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Jack. That was a really good conversation.
Daniel, thank you so much for spending time with us. I'm sure the audience appreciates your view and looking forward to seeing you in a future episode. Thanks.
All right.
See you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.